When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try. No man, diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of sun. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign.
Welcome to 4th and John, episode 262. I'm Gale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn in Prime in the building. And today we are talking five things Howie needs to do to get back to a Super Bowl. Obviously, the Super Bowl just happened. And, you know, we get in our feels. You know, we remember the Super Bowl. We got to see the looks on the faces of the Rams fans. I don't know. There's the St. Louis Rams and there's the Los Angeles Rams fans. So I really don't know who they are as a fan base, but shout out to the Bengals who made a valiant effort to come back and try and win that Super Bowl. But just overall, you know, we got a good Super Bowl. You know, the off season's here. 4th and John's still going to continue to pump out episodes and talk about the off season. When we start thinking about the off season, it's like, what does Howie need to do to get back to the Super Bowl? You start thinking about the moves that need to be done to get us back there. I mean, Ev, are you concerned Eagle fan right now?
I think everybody in the Eagles community should be a concerned Eagles fan. I mean, after watching this whole NFL postseason play out, I think the where we're at versus where we saw all of these other top teams, there's quite some distance between us. So we need to do a lot of work to be able to get up there and get in contention. But yeah, I think that this is something that could all be solved in an offseason. I think we could end up becoming contenders, you know, over this offseason, but the moves have to be made correctly. You can't mess this up. If you mess this up, you could set yourself back for years. So this is a very important draft coming up.
Yeah, you sit there and you watch this performance that happened on Sunday. It's like you're saying to yourself, shit, we got some serious work to do. And I mean, we're going back from the first week of the playoffs. So, you know, being an Eagles fan and, you know, seeing these guys play the way they play, you know, like Evan mentioned, man, you got to go ahead and definitely focus on rebuilding or focus on certain positions so that way we can get back to the big game. It was a little... Well, you know, I mean, depressing and everything, just seeing how things went, how the season ended up folding on us. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. I mean, shout out to the, you know, Los Angeles Rams for winning the big game. Definitely, you know, give a big shout out to OBJ. I was glad to see him.
His dad is the real MVP, bro.
Yeah, man, that was tight. And then, of course, you know, I mean, Stafford, you know, winning it coming from one of the worst teams in the NFL to winning the big game. I mean, he proved to the league, to the world, that, hey, you just put me with the right people, I can make things happen, and he showed that.
Shout out to Blue Meanie. Love you, man. Too, brother.
Meanie!
Thank you for everybody that's in the chat. We want you guys to be active along with us. So, we're going to go through our top five. You know, this is kind of on the fly. And we don't know what exactly Evan's top five is or Prime's top five is. We haven't talked yet. So we're gonna surprise each other.
Should we go? Everyone says all five, or should we go five, your five?
We'll start with our top five. So number one being the most important, but obviously I think all five of these things are going to be important to get us back to where the Eagles need to be to get that SB. So I think we just start right away. You guys in the chat want to give us your number five. Our number five thing that that Howie needs to do to get back to a Super Bowl. We'll start with Evan. What is your number five?
This is something that I feel like isn't being talked about enough this offseason. I mean, everybody, we talk about the corners, we talk about but the safeties are something I'm very concerned about. We need to draft young safeties. We currently have two aging guys that are vets. You know, McLeod and Harris are both good vets, but we have to start thinking beyond Harris and McLeod, because ultimately one day either both of those guys aren't going to be there, or one of them's not going to be there. I don't think Kayvon Wallace has really shown me that he's ready to take that step and be that guy at the safety position. So that's something that needs to be addressed. I mean, there's a lot of focus on the corners, but that middle of the defensive backfield also needs to be addressed as well.
Brian, what is your number five?
Well, my number five is, again, going back to sitting there watching that Super Bowl, watching the performance of these two quarterbacks, Stafford coming off of a Detroit Lions, playing for the Rams, winning the big game, Joe Burrow being a rookie, doing his thing. You didn't see many mistakes until the end of that game. And it was just like, and it really wasn't even on the quarterback. You know what I mean? That line just couldn't hold theirs, to the very end. But again, sitting there watching these guys put the scheme that they did and put it together, my number five would be, if Jalen is a guy, you got to focus on developing him. If he's not, then we need to make a quarterback decision, and we need to make it quick.
Okay. My number five is reload on pass rushers. Our pass rushers are getting up there. Some are already out the door, but I feel like now's the time to look back to how the Eagles won a Super Bowl. They had we spent money on the defensive line. We had some talent. So this is the draft class where I feel like you could draft two in the first round and you'd be good. There's edge rushers in the second round. So I feel like, if you want to draft Jermaine Johnson, make me feel a lot better about myself, go ahead, Howie. Go ahead. But overall, I just think, reloading at the defensive end position is hella important. Let's see. Did we have any? Jason over here, he says wide receiver. Paul from London Town, get a veteran wide receiver in free agency. Let's see. I know Jerome was talking about draft one fairly high, a safety, if he's talking safeties.
Mm-hmm. And give him the honey badger. I'd be all for Matthew coming here, without a doubt, man.
Okay, I'm feeling that. I'm feeling those vibes. Let's see here. We're moving right along. Number four, the number four thing that Howie needs to do to get a Super Bowl. Evan, on your list, number four.
Hey, man, I'm just pretty much echoing your last point. We need to address the defensive line in the draft. We need a whole new batch of interior guys and edge rushers, in my opinion. I mean, Fletcher Cox is getting up there in age. Hargrave did well last year, we need to start thinking long term as far as the interior of the defensive line. We need edge rushers, obviously. I Mark, this was honestly my original point for this, for my number four, was going to be linebacker, but at this point it's comical to even bring that up. Why are we even going to talk about the Eagles actually addressing the linebacker position through the draft? They just don't do it. So I will just take a stud defensive line. If you can give me a huge body, if you can give me a Jordan Davis a little bit later in the draft, I'd be about it, man. If we can get a big plug in that defensive line to pair with Fletcher Cox as he starts to age out, I think that'd be a good handing of the torch.
And then you got Devontae Wyatt, defensive tackle from Georgia. You got the UConn defensive tackle, Travis Jones. Let's see. You know, I mean, the
Perry and Winfrey. He did a great job in the Senior Bowl.
Oklahoma.
I really liked what I saw out of Perry and Winfrey. So, yeah, if we can get a big body, I'm in there.
Okay, I'm feeling that. Prime, what is your number four?
My number four would be, you know, pretty much like what you guys are talking about, edge rusher. Something we definitely need to focus on because of the fact that line is aging. I mean, they're still doing their thing, but they are aging. I mean, you got some serious top prospects coming out of this draft. All right, we're talking about Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan, Kayvon T. I'm not going to go ahead and mess up his last name.
Thibodeau.
But yeah, coming out of Oregon. You know, we talked about Jermaine Johnson on the prospect night that we were talking. David Ojabo.
Ojabo.
Sorry, I pronounced it in the Puerto Rican way. It's not the same thing, buddy.
Ojabo.
From Michigan. You know, these are key guys that are coming out of the draft. We could definitely focus on that just so we could go ahead and start young once again on that line. So that's my number four position.
Yeah, going back to those edge rushers, man, you just talk about it's the perfect – just the way that the draft is set up. I feel right where we're at. I feel like there are pieces that you can bring. And you don't even have to, like, you know, potentially move up. Like, if one goes early, you can get a developmental edge like Ojabo or Ojabo. Like Prime said,
since we're on the topic of talking about edge rushers, do you think that there's any edge rushers that could be on their way out the door from the Eagles? And also, I'm not saying that this is going to be one of those guys, but I think one thing to consider is that we had pretty much played without Brandon Graham for the entirety of the year, for the most part. I mean, he got injured in the beginning of the year. If he can come back next year and contribute the same way he's contributed throughout his entire career, that's a huge win. But still would love to have a solid edge rusher learning underneath of him.
Like, it feels like Sweaters are a guy right now. Mm-hmm. Like I'm excited
to have Brandon back, though, man. Brandon's a beast, like, no doubt.
I just feel like you just definitely need to reload at that position. My number four is sign a veteran wide receiver. You know, there's talks of Juju coming to Philly, having interest. You talk about a lot of the guys that we talked about, you know, whether it be who are we talking about? We're talking about Devontae. I don't think Devontae Adams has happened. It'd be nice. That would be nice. Yeah. But you just got to think about a reasonable target. You know, if you're trying to reload at the slot position, a guy who's definitely. I think is Juju getting a little long in the tooth? I still think he has something to tank. Leave the TikTok alone when you come to Philly a little bit. But I just really think you need a veteran presence. And you talk about
Devontae Ridley.
Yeah, Godwin? Godwin coming off injury, Ridley coming off some mental stuff. But I talk about Devontae Smith in his recent interview on a podcast. He mentioned that he would like to see a veteran wide receiver across the way. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly, you know, someone he can learn from, but also he can grow with for a couple of years. That would be nice.
And Juju, even, like, it's funny, like, hearing people call Juju a veteran too, because, like, in the grand scheme of things, what is he, like, 22, 23 years old? He came into the league. He was 19 years old. He hasn't been around.
Oh, yeah. How old is he?
So, exactly, he's super young, man. Like, he's still, you know, if he gets on the right team in the right situation, he could still be ascending in his career.
Okay. He's 25 now. He's 25. He's 25. That's crazy. I forgot he came in at 19.
Yeah.
I mean, Will also said Ridley. And then Adam, Michael Gibbs goes to DJ Chark. Definitely a possibility.
For sure. Jacksonville doesn't know what the hell they're doing down there.
Yeah. Moving right along. I mean, we are moving. We are moving. This is going to be a quick show. It's going to be a quick show today. Number three. Top three for the Eagles to get back to Super Bowl. Howie needs to do what, Ev?
Well, speaking of moving, that kind of segues right into my number three pick here. We need a downhill runner that can take advantage of inside runs. That is what I want. I want a punisher, a guy that will lower his shoulder, blast a linebacker backwards, make his own room. That's what I want. And I think that Miles Sanders is, we're kind of at that crossroads right now with Miles Sanders.
Do you mean keeping Miles Sanders and bring one of those?
I'm talking about replacing Miles Sanders. I'm talking about replacing Miles Sanders. I'm talking about Miles Sanders is right at the top of my trading block. Anybody wants a piece?
There goes my fat.
Give me a ring.
Wow. Go prime. Like I'm taken aback by it. Prime, you're number three.
I mean, again, we already talked about it on your number four position, but number three to me was the wide receiver, veteran wide receiver. You got to bring somebody in. You guys know where I stand. Rager's got to go. JJ's got to go. So we got to definitely bring somebody in. You mentioned some good names. Devontae Parker was another one. I'm not sure if anybody mentioned. Christian Kirk was another one that somebody mentioned. I mean, we're talking about some veteran wide receivers that could definitely get stolen out of free agency and brought to the squad and help these young wide receivers. So, I mean, I'm hoping that they go ahead and definitely focus on that.
That it has been mentioned. I saw a couple Fournette things in there. There's heard Eagles did have interest in the Fournette. That would be nice. Hey, we'll see what happens. My number three is draft impact in the first round. Like, obviously, I still don't believe we're going to use these three picks, but in theory, draft impact in the first round, whether that's offensive line, you talk about Linderbaum, you talk about Jermaine Johnson. I feel like you draft that guy, set it and forget it. I feel pretty confident after the ass whooping he put on people in the Senior Bowl. I've seen people out there like, he is getting, his stock is risen heavily, but watching him at the Senior Bowl make everyone look stupid. So much so that he didn't have to practice the fourth day because he was like, I'm good. I made my money. I don't even have to play in the game. But Ajabo, another guy who, obviously he's a raw talent, but you bring him in, what he's done and not being super polished. You talk about, you just have to bring in an edge player. You talk about wide receiver, a Treylon Burks. You talk about that big body wide receiver that you could play opposite of, he could play the slot, he play outside, big body, hands. If you check his hands, 5XL gloves. Dude is, he's like, you're talking about guys that aren't going to drop the ball. He's not going to drop the ball. I like Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State. I think he's very explosive. He's a guy that can get separation very easily. Just the impact players, these guys that come in have to get on the field and make an impact. Right. Sauce Gardner, another guy, having a cornerback, Sauce and Slay has a ring to it already. That sounds like a hot sauce, Sauce and Slay.
Sauce.
Yeah, man. Overall, I like that. Draft impact players, first round, let them dudes get on the field. Jerome says, Treylon Burks, our Debo. You're talking about him. He's got that skill set. Check out his play against Alabama, where he pulls away from, like, catches a little hitch route or whatever, or curl, whatever, takes it to the house. Who outruns Alabama?
I love the idea of a Debo Samuel, but I also think that it's kind of like, I feel like it's dangerous to say that somebody is like another Debo Samuel, because I've seen gadget players before and I've also seen them not work out before. Samuel is a tremendous gadget player that can play legit wide receiver. He can play legit running back. He can do it all, but he's elite.
But it's all, but his, like, he's not an elite route runner, but he's elite with, like, he's just an elite player, all around player. But I feel like, Burks has the yak. I think that's something you like in his game, the yak. See, Mark Bird knows 5XL, man. Also, Drake London.
That's what she said.
Drake London, another talking about a guy with a real basketball pedigree, like wants USC to also play basketball, not just like on some fringe. Like, he had to choose. He chose football, and he got injured, but still led the nation in contested catches. So I mean, again, watch. You know, we're gonna go back and watch some of these guys. I told these guys prior to the show that we're gonna do. I'm gonna let them watch some of the talent that I pick out for them to watch, and you tell me. You tell me.
I agree with you. I kind of am coinciding with Mark's point, is that I think that after watching these playoffs, after watching what an explosive season Deebo Samuel has had, I think teams are going to be reaching for that next Deebo, and whether or not they get it is a different story.
But not only that, you think they'll have that thing figured out by now, how to shut that down, that style of play?
If you're good enough, man. Like,
it's just the it thing to do. Like when every year there's an it thing to do, like, you know, like Eagles, they went heavy and they got, you know, that rotation of defensive line next year, everyone's trying to stack.
Well, I gotta admit, watching Deebo play, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at my 1 year old and I'm telling him, you're going to be the next Deebo, bro. Yeah.
if anyone was listening, you know how high I was on Deebo coming out of the draft. His skill set was just kind of like, he was a muscle, dude.
Yeah.
Like not everyone has that kind of violence after the catch. Like Treylon Burks got the muscle. He's a big dude. He's not like a smaller guy, but he's also a guy that can play in the slot, can play outside, and he's a big, like you talk about Ja'Marr Chase, you know, that play strength when the ball's in the air, it's his. Treylon Burks got that.
I just want to ask you real quickly, because you talked about your number three was just getting impact players in the first round. To me, like they gotta be our day one starters.
Day
right?
one.
So what's your plan, one. Hypothetically speaking? Like you mentioned Tyler Linderbaum, would you start him at right guard?
I mean, he you know, like
Kelsey's
even
playing.
Yeah, I mean, even the fact that if you have him, you know, like is he big enough? They trusted him to play guard right away. He's a little undersized, but I think just having him in the incubator system, you know, you know how injuries happen. He's a guy that could learn from one of the best. Right. I mean, and if he fits the system, you know, obviously there's guys like, you know, a Kenyon Green, if you're trying to just go get a guard, Johnson from Boston College, if you're trying to bring in a move back and get a guard, if that's what you're trying to do. There's some guys there. But overall, you just got to have impact on the field. Like, we can't have guys like – you look around the league, first rounders are playing.
Dude, look at a guy that playing. We talked about last year around this time, Rashawn Slater. I mean
– yeah.
Dude, I mean, that was a guy that I kind of – I don't want to say like, oh, I kind of pushed him to the side because I saw the shiny toy that was Devontae Smith and all these other, you know, big names at the top of the draft. But, you know, Rashawn Slater is one of the best rookies that came out of that draft.
I mean, that's not the sexy pick. Rashawn Slater, you know, if you're talking to offensive linemen analysts or draft analysts, they'll tell you how important he is, what kind of piece he is. And hey, man, it is what it is. Like drafting like interior offensive linemen isn't sexy at all, but it is what it is. Kyle's over here talking about D-line. The Eagles D-line is a bust. Okay. Pete's talking about drafting tight end.
That's my honorable mention. That's number six on my list.
I just feel like we've actually been blessed when it comes to tight ends. That's just me. I mean,
we have been, but eventually that well runs dry, you know? That's not something that you can just count on, the fact that we've done well in the past, so we'll do well in the future, you know?
You think you can definitely draft a mid-round tight end in this draft? There's a lot of talent that's going to be
definitely
on day two and day three, top of day three. Mm-hmm. But speaking of three, and moving down to – Number two, on our list of top five things.
Eagles. I was in a different spot each one of those.
You like that?
I do. Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot for these animations. They don't just happen. So, Ev, what is your number two on the list for?
So my number two is very similar once again to your last one, but it's I need a big-bodied wide receiver to pair on the other side of Devontae Smith to add to the diversity of our wide receiving core. And, you know, at the beginning of the offseason, I was all Devontae Adams stuff, as anybody should be. If the thought of Devontae Adams is a realistic possibility to your football team, that's a home run. But most likely a pipe dream. Most likely not going to happen. Someone that's more realistic, a Mike Williams. I'm all in on a Mike Williams, bro. A 6'4", proven talent, proven young talent from Clemson, another SEC guy. Dude, I'm all for it. You bring a guy like Mike Williams in, and then, you know, you talked about guys like Treylon Burks, Olave. If you want to address it in the draft, that's what it is. But, you know, Mike Williams has kind of pushed himself to the top of my wide receiver want list.
That's interesting. He's a guy that I drafted like in fantasy, that rookie to pop like for years, like then the second year. And then it's like, I was just like waiting. Then he finally popped. I'm like, bruh, come on now.
Imagine if we ended up getting DK though. Like, dude, I mean, Mike Williams is one thing. We got DK and we right all our wrongs from that draft. But DK, I'll take a white side. That's a.
We wouldn't have even been in this position.
But, anyways.
hey. You know, that would be nice. That would be nice. Your number two, Prime.
My number two would be linebacker position. I know you guys had this on the bottom of your list, but this is a key thing for me. I know we don't focus too much on it. It's one of my favorite positions. So I know, you know, it's that time, man. We got to go ahead and definitely bring that linebacker in here. So I think that's where we need to hit free agency the hardest when it comes to the linebacker position. I mean, you got some key guys. You got Devondre Campbell. Forsade, I'm not even pronouncing that last name. Vanderish, you know, I'm not big on bringing any Cowboys here, so we could go ahead and squash that. Josie Jewell, Dante Hightower, he's aging. But I mean, like, again, you gotta definitely address that position. I know we're not accustomed to doing that, and us fans, we you know, we're past, you know, waiting and being patient with that. But I'm hoping that, you know, that gets turned around this year.
I think somebody was talking about Olave in the chat.
But you got Barr too from Minnesota.
Yeah. Also, Adam talks about grabbing Greg Dulcich from UCLA. That would be a good pick. He made himself some money at the Senior Bowl. It definitely stood out for us down there. Let's see. My number two. Build an explosive offense. Obviously, we ran the ball. I thought we played some bully ball at the end, the half of the season, all the way to the end of the season. You know, it became our identity. But running the ball doesn't, to me, showcase explosiveness. Quick strike is explosiveness. Like when you can five plays and next thing you know, five plays and 70 yards down the field. I mean, 70 yards down the field in a matter of minutes. Like quick, like, you know, 2 minutes, boom, a score. That's the kind of thing that you look at all the teams that made it to the Super Bowl. You know, they had that ability, big play ability. You talk about Cincinnati with their weapons. You talk about the Rams and their explosive offense. You know, it's keeping up with the Joneses. So if I'm looking at this offense, do I look at us as an explosive offense? No. Like, we run the ball really well, but you have to be a balanced offense. And I think the passing attack has to get better. So whether that be bringing in some, like I said, bringing in a veteran wide receiver, drafting some impact wideouts that can stretch the field, get separation, all that's going to tie in together nicely. But in order for the Eagles to get back to the Super Bowl, they have to start becoming explosive on the offensive side of the ball. Man, we're moving right along, man.
Hold on before we get there. I just want to address Jerome's question. How do you guys feel about Hurts throwing 50-50 balls to big-bodied wide receivers? It makes me more confident, personally. I mean, that's exactly what J-Jaw is supposed to be. But he's so caught up in the whole blocking aspect of his game that he doesn't do that down the field, jumping over moss and people stuff. If we had a wide receiver that was capable of that, I'd be all for it.
And that's what a lot of analysts might say about you, Drake London. We're talking about catch radius. It's real. Like, it's real. Like, you see that basketball background show up. You see the wingspan. You see him, you know, bodying out smaller defensive backs. Then you go to Treylon Burks. Like, those are guys that can win at the catch point. So, like, you know, that's what you need, man. That's what you need. I think you definitely got to think. I mean, then look, go back to the first time that he threw that that back shoulder fade, almost, you know, jump ball like to Alshon Jeffrey. You know, like I think he can get there, but it takes a guy to grow with. You know, having a guy to grow with, especially a young talented guy.
That's why I like Mike Williams, man.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Williams is he's
young guy to grow with, man.
Yeah, he's a dude that he does get injured though. He does get injured. I like the player though. I do like the player.
So let me put us both, and if Prime comes back in the hot seat, let's put some. Gun to your head. Let's not even talk about name of who quarterback it is. Do the Eagles, before the next season, make a trade for the quarterback position? For whoever.
Wow. I mean, you're just switching up, huh?
Hey, man, I'm trying to answer the people's questions. If you want me to swing first, I'll swing.
No, I do think they're in it. I think they're in it to try and get a guy. It's just, it's weird right now. Like, we got three picks. Talk about packaging. Pick a player, a next year's first or second, like that will get you your guy. Like, it should get your one of your guys if you want. I mean, Albert Breer again. They said that, you know, with Sports Illustrated now was saying that they're going to take a major swing. Like, this is the stuff kind of shit we've been hearing out here. Like, Eagles are out in these streets, so it's just weird. You know, like, obviously, I think they're going to take a look at the situation. And again, looking at Matt Stafford, the Rams made a ballsy move to get there. They had to, like, you know, when some people are like, oh, man, they gave up too much for Matt Stafford. I would never give up that. Like, tell that to the Rams now. They have a Super Bowl because of Matt Stafford and the no-look elite throws that are going down.
That was like, crazy. I mean,
that no-look joint was like,
that was nuts, man. But only Stafford, you know, I mean, he could definitely pull that off.
Nick Foles threw a no looker in the Vikings games. Just saying.
Just my answer to Pete's question. I'm on the other side of the fence of you, Gale. And this is strictly from a speculation standpoint. This is not me with any info, and I'm not dropping any insider bombs here. I personally believe Jalen Hurts is going to be the quarterback next season. I just, after everything is all said and done, whether once we get through the draft, once we get through the rest of the offseason, I don't think that the Eagles are going to make a trade for the quarterback. I think it's going to be the Jalen Hurts show next season, regardless of what I said last show. I think it's the Jalen Hurts show.
Well, I mean, see, well, maybe Ed was smoking for the show. It was that damn chicken, the smoked chicken. Yeah. Yeah. Moving right along, man. We're moving. We promised you we're moving. Our number one, down to our number one. This is the top thing that Howie needs to do to get back to the Super Bowl. Drum roll, please.
So my number one thing for the Eagles to get back to the Super Bowl is one of our strengths that we already have, but we need to keep it strong. You need to reinforce the offensive line in the draft. Like I just said, whichever direction that Howie decides to go with the QB, we need to make sure he's protected. We have an aging right tackle that we need to start thinking beyond him. We have a Hall of Fame guard that just retired. That position needs to be addressed. And we have a Hall of Fame center that probably has one season left. So we are going to go from pretty much Hall of Famers across the board on our offensive line to whatever we end up, whatever we're left with. So this is something that we have no time to fool around with. We need to get high prospects in these positions just so they can fill the line after everybody retires or ends up getting injured or whatever ends up happening.
Hey, whatever. Offensive lineman Stoutland wants.
I'm all for.
Stoutland gets.
Okay. I trust any guy that Stoutland wants to try and train up. I believe he can. He turned a rugby player into to an awesome tackle in the NFL. So,
Mark, I do believe the Eagles will try and trade Dillard. Todd's number one. He says this is for Howie to not f up this draft. Don't try and be the smartest guy in the room. So no kickers in the first round. I know there are people too. Rome says nothing is too much for another Lombardi. No, man. I mean, I think that's how you have to think as a GM. Mm-hmm. We're not GMs, but we do play one on Twitter. Prime, what is your number one?
My number one position is the defensive back position. Again, because of the fact that we don't focus too much on the linebacker position, then go all out and get that key guy coming out of the draft. We talked about Sauce Gardner. You know, I'm going to go ahead and give props to Evan because he came up with the name, but I mean, how good does it sound? Slay Sauce, you know what I mean? That's a good combination. Oh, I'm sorry. Then props to you, yeah. You know, the Slay Sauce. So that's just the key thing, bringing that kid to go ahead and line up opposite of Slay will be key. If we don't focus on that linebacker position, if we don't pick up that free agency linebacker, then we have to focus on our defensive backs pretty much doing their thing and shutting it down, shutting down these key wide receivers that are in this league, man. You know, there's some other key prospects in the draft that, you know, they could definitely focus on. But, you know, the fact that we got three picks, and if we stick with all three picks, I want to go all defense in that first round. You know what I mean? I want to go all in and definitely get the defense set up, especially the fact that we also got Gannon coming back. I mean,
yeah,
it's big. Not all for it, but kind of a couple shows ago, or maybe just the last show, you had mentioned, why start new with a new defensive coordinator? I agree with you. You know what I mean? Why do we got to keep on putting these kids through that? So I'm okay with rocking out with Gannon, but if you give him the key guys and the right guys in the right position, hey, it could be a different outcome this year, and I'm hoping that that's the thing.
Now, your other cornerbacks that will probably go in the first round, Derek Stingley out of LSU. Talk about a guy who's had a tremendous freshman year, you know, dealt with some injuries, you know, had some inconsistencies, but obviously a lot of people have him as a cornerback, CB1. I saw, you know, how much we mentioned Sauce over the last couple months. And then you have Trent McDuffie from Washington. Mm-hmm. You know, if you move off that, you know, you also have McCreary at Auburn. He's a guy that, you know, he played in SEC, man. I was just watching his tape before I even got on the show. Check out his tape versus Jamar Chase and let me know how you think he did against Jamar Chase, who we just saw rip up the NFL. So if you're talking about
rip up Jalen Ramsey, not just the NFL.
So I mean, McCreary had, you know, he's got some we actually met him at the Senior Bowl, so he's another guy that we hope to get on, talk to prospect. But, you know, start looking the second round as well for cornerbacks as well. So I feel like, Prime, I'm with you on that. Like, you know, do you want to pay another, you know, if you can bring a dog in through the draft in the first round, you don't got to pay a free agent, I'm cool with that as long as he can do what you need to do.
Right, sure.
I'm good. My number one – numero uno, and it's important. I have Howie has to get his guy at QB. Now that's kind of open ended. Is that guy Jalen Hurts? Do they believe in him? So if they do believe in him, right? You know, you back him up with some talent at the wide receiver position, really, you know, double down on his playmakers. You know, if you don't believe in him, this is your window to get one of your guys at QB. These windows don't always happen. There's not always a Deshaun Watson out on the streets or a Russell Wilson potentially out on the streets. Like, these are windows that, you know, everyone keeps on talking about now that the NFC is pretty open, you know, like, you know, and I keep seeing that we're not a QB away. Like, yeah, it's, you bring the right guy in here, you know, we'll see. And if that's his guy, you know, if his guy is still in the locker room, so be it, you know. And that whole idea of bringing in Wilson is just a pipe dream, you know, and you can stop me now.
But anyways.
You cut out for me. I didn't hear.
But anyways,
that was subliminal. Subliminal. Ev, what was your number one? Did I ask you your number one?
Yeah, you asked me. It was okay. It was to reinforce the offensive line.
Okay. Yeah, man. It's definitely, you know, it's going to be very interesting. Mark's talking about he needs a playmaker.
you know, Howie has to have his best draft of the career. I believe that's correct. What I believe is not correct is calling Jalen Ramsey overrated.
Yeah, that's just crazy talk.
I mean, he's had some plays where, you know, everyone's going to get burned in the league. Come on.
You're going off of that one play with him and T. Higgins, man. That was a face mask all the way.
Todd's talking about bringing Howie in. Talking about Brian Flores in. I think the league's going to blackball him. No pun intended.
Yeah, I think the same thing's unfortunate.
Sad, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
I mean, you talk about that was our top five list. This was like a try to get it through the mental system.
This was all just about you flexing that new Sixers gear you got. That's a whole night was about.
It would have definitely flexed. That had been a number one jersey.
I was going to segue into like, you know, what's, you know, not sad is that the Sixers are playing.
Yes, sir.
They're giving us reason for the season. Right now, like I'm telling you, you know how hyped we are to watch the Sixers right now?
Is Harden ringing the bell tonight? He better be.
Well, we'll find out. Bro, we'll find out in the next 15 minutes.
This has got to go back to Howie. You know, can you be outdone by the Sixers, Howie? Right now, it's Sixers town.
These guys used to compete with each other. These GMs from each sport would compete with each other. So I'm hoping that they go back down that road again.
It's tough because like it always goes with whatever team is doing the best. But as of right now, the Sixers are some of the most fun basketball I've watched in Philadelphia in my lifetime. So like for them not to be, you know, controlling the conversation in the city, they've earned it at this point.
MVP.
No, I mean, it's got to be like if Howie's looking at the Sixers and like, hey, man, they're making key moves. They're making like their windows open right now. Mm-hmm. They made a key acquisition because the window is open.
Paul Millsap, you mean, right?
Yeah. He's like, it's getting weird in here. Like, is anyone going to ask me a question? Thanks, guys.
That was funny.
Fear the beard is a thing, man. Like, I can't wait, man. I feel for everyone who bought tickets on Saturday and Tuesday thinking that you were ahead of the game. Shout out to Autumn. But, hey, man, we all got to get tickets to one of those games. They're going to be outrageous. But we got to go.
So, yeah, we definitely got to go.
That Brooklyn Nets game is insane. You can't find it. I think
it I started looking at that shit the other night. Right, I'm like, man.
$1,000 a ticket.
Hey, would you go all the way to Brooklyn to boo Ben Simmons?
Oh, yeah.
We're known for going to the visitors' team.
I thought you were about to ask Frugal Gang if he would drop $1,000 to go watch.
No, what if I had a connect.
Yeah. I'd be all about that.
I'm all about it. Ain't nothing we ain't never do before.
Well, this is a quickie for us. This is a quickie, but obviously, definitely going to be bringing out more shows. Check for Talk to Prospect. Me and Chris Malley, we will be doing some interviews with some players and breaking down some film on some of the top prospects in the first round, just to get you familiar with as we get. Through draft season. Draft season, we're in the beginning right now. Like, we're trying to catch y'all up.
I can't wait for the combine, man. That's another, you know, another week of fun.
Countdown to find out some
more about these prospects.
Are you that fired up that you jumped in a car for 10 hours to drive to
Indy? I didn't say that. Yeah, I just said I'm fired up to, you know, watch it on that TV right there. My commute is not that bad to that TV.
I'll wait you get that.
No, I did some intel. They said there's not really much access if you go down there for media. So, I guess we're going to stay home for the combine.
They killed that one.
Todd's asking, no food talk?
We didn't hit the hour mark.
Yeah,
food talk happens after the
Sixers
hour
mark. Are coming on. We're trying to be, you know, show you
I'm
guys.
Actually, while we're having this conversation, trying to figure out what I should do for dinner because I'm not making it right now.
To the fans and want to watch the Sixers game.
Shout out to Mr. Rivera. I did use the hot sauce on some fried chicken.
I'm just going
to
keep on talking about you.
Yeah, right here.
What are we
going to get together?
Shout out to Mr. Rivera. I used it again.
You going to come down? When are we going to meet?
I'm 15 minutes from you at work. You got plenty of time. You can come and drop it off then.
Or y'all can just visit me in Delaware.
I stay out of Delaware.
Or we can go dinner. We can get some bulgogi. How about that? I'll bring your sweatshirts.
Man, I gotta invite you guys over for taco night. We can go ahead and throw that hot sauce on there.
I still got your sweatshirts.
Yeah,
you're gonna hold them hostage too.
Yeah.
So let me know when you guys want to link up for food. Sure. How about that?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the idea. How about we do breakfast, man? We never even talked about that. I'm down for a breakfast. I will murder a breakfast.
I've seen you murder a breakfast.
Yo, Prime don't even breathe when he eats sometimes. Just cold ham.
I actually love taking pictures of Prime when he's in the fucking when he's out there eating, because he just gets so in the fucking zone. I just have Prime like giving the scan of the menu.
Can't let the moment pass me by, bro.
Hey, pork just listen to him eat pork rinds. Life will be changed forever. But yeah, man, hopefully tonight Embiid has another MVP of performance. Mm-hmm. Hopefully
I'm excited Howie... to see Harden on the sideline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to find out if he's gonna ring the bell, man.
Yeah. Hopefully Howie has the MVP performance.
Need this offseason. Need him to.
But we'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go six.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.